The Pierre Andre Memorial Studio at the Museum of Broadcast Communications is where we do our Those Were the Days program every Saturday afternoon. And we are delighted this Saturday afternoon to have a very special guest. She's Bernice Martin Wallace, a Chicago area resident who, lo and behold, starred in a lot of radio dramas during the good old days. Bernice, we're glad to have you here.
Well, hi, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be here.
So delightful to see you down here at our studio to talk about the radio days.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Need a little more volume on Bernice's mic. You can come in a little closer there.
Okay.
Better?
It's okay with me.
Okay. bring that up. Okay. Now, you started working in radio. Well, I guess it's a delicate subject. I don't want to bring it up
too. It's okay. Everybody that knows me knows how old I am. It's all right.
Well, you started back in 1941, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So you did freelance work in Chicago on a variety of soap operas and other shows, right?
Yes. And I did commercials, too.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part was that the commercials didn't give us residuals in those days.
That's right.
And we did it. And that was it. And no matter how many times it went on, it made no difference as far as money was concerned.
Well, what was your first radio job?
My first radio job was with the Romance Trent.
It was.
That was the first audition I went on, and fortunately, I got the audition. And I have to tell you, Chuck, they asked me whether I was a member of AFRA.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I didn't even know what AFRA was, never, you know. And I told them I was not, and they said, well, you better join because you'll go on the air tomorrow. And I asked how much it would cost, and they said $50, and I sort of gulped because in 41 it wasn't that easy to get, you know, $50.
And you weren't being paid $50 for that job either.
No, but we were paid $45 for a broadcast, which included 1 hour of rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
We usually, you know, we started in the studio at 10:30, got the script, marked it, and went over the script twice probably, and then we went on the air at 11:30 at the Wrigley Building at CBS.
Oh, yeah.
It was
great. WBBM.
At WBBM. Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah, so, that was great.
But now you say you auditioned for and got a role on The Romance of Helen Trent. Had you done any other acting or radio work before that? Tell us about that.
No, I didn't do radio work.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody suggested to me that I go and sign up for some auditions and go to some of the advertising agencies, and they called me for this particular audition, and I was just fortunate enough to get it. I guess I maybe did something that was a little different than the other girls. I gave it somewhat of a Brooklyn accent, and it had a little comedy relief to the part.
What was the role that you you got?
I played the part of Ginger LeRoy, Helen Trent's secretary. And it was a fun part.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, comedy and cute, and I enjoyed it very much. The people were wonderful. Gil Whitney was the romantic male, and of course that was played in those days by Marvin Miller, who went on to be the millionaire.
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
On television.
On
television. Yeah. Well, he was the man who handed out the checks for the millionaire.
Well,
right.
All right. Anybody that would hand me a $1 million check would be the millionaire.
That's right.
But he was around, and Mike Wallace was around, famous for 60 Minutes,
sure,
you know.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people, a lot of wonderful people in that particular era. Virginia Clarke played the part of The Romance of Helen Trent. And then, of course, there were other shows that I did. However, I then went on to do I was Betty Crocker on NBC.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Ah.
Uh-huh. And
did you get all of the
recipes?
The recipes?
No.
And did you get all?
I gave some of mine. So that's what I did, and I did other commercials. I did a lot of Wholesome Bread commercials, and they're still writing them and doing them. And the W.E. Long Company, I guess, is still in existence here. And 13 days after my first daughter was born, which was in 1948, I went down to the studio and I did the first Dial soap commercial.
What was that, the Give Dial a Trial today?
Dial a Trial or something. But it was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
I sat down in a chair and I did it, and it was great.
Well, you've been in and out of the broadcast world over the years then. You ever do anything now? You still dabble a little bit?
I tell you what I have been doing through the years. I worked in different charitable organizations, mm-hmm. and we put on shows, and I directed them, and I acted in them. And then there was a period there, the Chicago Board of Rabbis and the Catholic Diocese and the Protestant uh-huh. Church, they had a program on Saturday nights on WBBM, starting at 9 o'clock uh-huh. at night, and I would always do the shows for the Board of Jewish Rabbis. And do you recall the name Father Banahan?
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure.
Well, Father John Banahan, right?
John Banahan, uh-huh. who still must be around,
sure.
because I read about
he
him
was,
in Cups
He
column
was
a lot.
Here at the museum mm-hmm. a year or two ago when the museum did a memorial service for Fran Allison.
Oh, really?
Yes, mm-hmm. and in fact, we broadcast it, and Father yeah. Banahan was here as part of that.
Yeah, he was a wonderful
yeah,
man.
Sure.
Well, he handled the part for the Catholic Archdiocese, uh-huh. and he one night he called me frantically. It was a Thursday, and he said, I have nobody to play the part of Sister Bernadette. Would you please play the part uh-huh. for me? And I said, Father, it would be a pleasure if you'll bring me the script. And he came mm-hmm. over. But it was wonderful doing the show. But at the end of the show, they did give credits. And at that time, I was married to my first husband, who last name was Handelman. And he said, the part of Sister Bernadette was played by Bernice O. Handelman. It was just adorable. He had a great sense of humor. But,
well, you sound like you had a good time with the radio
yeah,
days, didn't you?
Yeah. I did. I wasn't sorry it was over because everything, you know, then I mm-hmm. went into another era, mm-hmm. started raising my family
sure, yeah.
and did things. But it's always, I've always had pleasure out of some of the things I did and some of the things I'm doing now.
You worked at the Merchandise Mart
for at
NBC, WMAQ,
yeah.
and WENR,
right.
I suppose, yeah. and maybe at the Tribune for WGN.
At the Tribune, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get caught with the bridge up? You know that
once,
that story?
Once, and I got out and walked. It was really not funny.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Mm.
But I always try to be very, very early,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see the CBS studio, though. It was just like a little square room.
Uh-huh.
And then directly in front was an enclosed box where you could have visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, if I'd be on, I would lift up my eyes from the sheet of paper, and there was my mother. Maybe
oh,
with
yeah.
a girlfriend or
uh-huh.
somebody to see the
Come
show.
Come down to see you do it.
Really,
yeah.
it was... Nice.
Now, these shows were not necessarily open to the public,
oh,
so
no,
they had to,
no.
you were
it
glad.
It was a 15, you know,
yeah, right.
it wasn't.
Many
yeah.
of the shows had mm-hmm. to be done a second time to accommodate the changes in the time zones.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have that problem with Helen Trent?
No.
Your
one.
Your time was such that it could be
That's
heard
right.
across the country.
And
either.
I know I have family in Buffalo, New York, mm-hmm. who always were thrilled because if they'd be listening to the program,
they could
hear
me.
Huh?
Yeah.
And so it was the same time, you know.
Did the character that you played, Ginger LeRoy, there,
yeah.
was that a regular character from that
was,
time on now for a while?
They called it a running part.
Uh-huh.
And, yes. It wasn't regular because I was not on every day.
Uh-huh.
I was lucky if I was on sometimes twice a week, you
mm-hmm.
know, and maybe
mm-hmm.
once a week sometimes, depending what the script was. And, of course, if Helen Trent was in her office,
yeah.
you know. But it was but it was a fun thing to do.
Did that program really prove that romance need not be over, even though a woman is 35 years of age?
Well, I'll vouch to that anytime.
What kind of reaction that you might have become aware of did the show receive from the audience, the listening audience?
Oh, well, I talk to people even now
mm-hmm.
who remember their mothers or grandparents or somebody. Oh, my goodness, we always had it on in our
mm-hmm,
house,
mm-hmm.
you know. People were glued to the radio in those days. It was a great way to, you know, you use your imagination.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
Of course, I get a kick out of listening to some of the tapes now. It's a different kind of acting nowadays. Everything is more natural, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of overacting, and the announcing was very dramatic.
Yes,
you know,
well, the announcers
in comparison,
were, right.
You know,
always
pushing, punching.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
right. Well, there was, uh-huh. there's more a naturalness, as you say,
sure.
today. But in those mm-hmm. days, the epitome of radio was the announcer. I mean, you always, you know, visualized a Tony Martin or somebody tall and very, very much in control. In fact, indeed, the sponsor was kind of in control. The announcer was kind of in control as he read that sponsor's product. Now, did you, as one of the actors on the show, ever get to take home some of the sponsor's product? Did they ever give you a package of goodies? They never did, huh?
Come to think of it, no.
They just paid you off, and that was all you needed.
That was it, yeah. I have a nice a letter that the director had sent me. He went into the Navy, and a very fine person named Blair Walliser, and he wrote me a beautiful letter because he knew this was the beginning for me and thanked me for the work and wished me well, and it was very nice. You know, there was nice camaraderie between people.
Over the years, I have heard from so many people who worked in Chicago about Blair Walliser.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
They have said that he was really a nice person to work with, easy to get along with, not outwardly demanding, yet if what he wanted, he could convey that message to his actors very easily and get what he wanted.
I often think about, you know, think of certain different people and wonder where they are, what happened to them. But you do lose touch. You can't help it. AFRA, in those days it was AFRA. There
American
was no telephone.
Federation of Radio Artists.
And now it's AFTRA for television and radio artists. But they had, in those days, they'd have a beauty contest or something once a year in some kind of an affair. Well, I wasn't chosen queen. A girl by the name of Angel Casey was queen. I don't know what happened to her. She was a beautiful blonde girl. And then I was one of the runner-ups.
Oh.
So that was my...
And I can understand that, too.
Oh, thank you very thanks very much. But Kay Westfall and I were the runner-ups. So they had the blonde queen and the two brunettes. But anyway, it was fun.
I have seen some copies of a publication or a booklet called... that was distributed at AFTRA's annual show called the Antics, AFRA Antics.
Oh, really?
And... in there, they would have photographs of all of the AFRA people, AFRA people over the years. So I'm going to have to go back and see if I can find your photograph.
I don't know, it was in the early 40s, there's a picture. Well, you won't know it's me, but it's there.
Well, you're so nice to spend a little time coming down on a Saturday afternoon to talk about this stuff.
I'm delighted. I've listened to you so many times. I'm delighted I had the pleasure of meeting you.
Well, thank you. I always like to meet the listeners, too. And it's always double special when a listener is someone who contributed to the radio days. Unfortunately, the episode of The Romance of Helen Trent that we have is not does not have this, Helen's secretary in it. And there are so few episodes of Helen Trent around. I keep looking for one for you if I can find one with Ginger LeRoy. You worked 5 years on this show?
Well, from 41 till about, 46. Most of the things were taken out of Chicago at that time.
Yeah,
it started emanating from New York. So that was it.
Well,
that was it.
We're going to take our listeners back with us now to a... Well, you said Chicago must have been about 11:30 in the morning when this was on.
Yes. And those were the days.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I want to thank you, Bernice Martin, for being with us
today.
Thank you, Chuck. It's very nice to have you here.
It was very nice being here.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
This is a long-running... Thank you very much. It was a long-running soap opera, ran from 1933 to 1960. Frank and Ann Hummert, once again. In this particular episode, we have Julie Stevens as Helen Trent, David Gothard as Gil Whitney, and Mary Jane Higby as Cynthia. That familiar theme song, Juanita, you know, the guitar and the humming, something different than the usual organ music. You have a guitar strumming and then hum the tunes of Juanita. Nita, Juanita, ba-ba-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Did that, Bernice, does that take you back?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Well, let's take you all back now for The Romance of Helen Trent.